Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Bav Metzia, Daf Samech Gimel Amud Bet. And in this Shiur, we're going to see as we complete our analysis of the first Mishnah, a miscellany of halachot relating to Ribit. Rav Rav Yosef Tamtavayu. So we start with Pumbadita. Haiman de Yoiv Zuze Atara Harifa. If somebody, literally, the meaning is, if somebody puts down their money on a sharp market value. What it means is that they put money on futures early in the season. They have to show up when the fellow who's the seller is threshing his wheat. Let's say they bought wheat. Now, Lamai, why do we need to do that? If it's to make a kinyan halokani, that you don't make a kinyan by standing there long watching. If it's to set that the seller is under the ban of mishapara, if he reneges on the deal, even if the guy doesn't show up, once you made the deal and the guy committed and he took your money and he committed to selling it to you, he's under the ban of Mishapara. So the answer is the all of the Kabuli Ale Mishapara. Yes, it is about Mishapara. But here it's a unique circumstance because you bought it so early in the season. Sometimes when a guy buys early, he'll buy at two or three different sellers. And he's going to see which one ends up having the best wheat. Because Tara Harifa means also selling it early, buying it early. So if he shows up, the buyer shows up at the seller's granary, Samchadate, then the seller understands he really meant to buy from me, and I have to do it, and there's a Mishapara. Ve'ilo, but if he doesn't show up, Amarle, so he says, Amina, when the buyer shows up and says, where's my wheat? He'll say, Amina dashkacha peridish apiramididi. I figured you found better fruit than mine, better wheat than mine, v'shaklat, and you bought there. Because after all, you bought so early, you probably bought from a few different guys on spec. You didn't show up when I was processing it, even to see what it looked like. I figured you bought it somewhere else, so we would not hold him to Mishapara. So Rav Ashi comes to an interesting conclusion. Hashtamat mishum mismachdata, you're telling me now that Mishapara depends on the seller's understanding and presumption about the buyer's intent. So therefore, you don't need Rabbi Aviv Yosef's specific ruling that the buyer has to show up at the threshing floor, even if the buyer bumps into the seller in the marketplace and says to him, "Vamarle," and says, "I'm going to buy it." Samchadate. Then we assume that the seller knows that the buyer is in for his wheat, because now months have passed and now it's about time to process it, and so therefore Mishapara would apply. Okay, I'm Rav Nachman. We're going to have a few halachot from the great Dayan Rav Nachman. Klala de Ribita. What's the big rule of Ribit? Kol agar natar le asur. Anytime, literally, you're paying to watch things, meaning you're paying money to be able to watch the money. You've given you money, and you're paying extra money for the fact that you got to hold on to it. Asur. So Rav Nachman, another halacha, Haiman de Yoiv Zuza le Kira'a. If you give money to a guy who makes wax, the Ka'azli Arba Arba, and he took your money, and he didn't yet have the wax hives, and he said, I'll give you four hives per sella, let's say as an example. Marla Ibn Allah Chamesh Chamesh, and then that was the going price, and the wax seller then said, you know what, I'll give you five for the sella, as long as you pay me now. Itanu gabe shari. If the wax seller has the wax with him, it's mutar. Even though he doesn't give it to him yet. He has to process it. Leitanu gabe, if he doesn't have them at all, then asur. So pshita, that sounds exactly like the ruling we had in the previous podcast. So lotzri chadid le'ashray v'mata. There's even a case where the wax maker has a credit line in town, and he could go to wax manufacturers and get their wax hives, to process. But because he has a credit there. So, since he has a credit line in town. Remember that if a fellow says, I need to borrow $100 until I can get the key to my house, to get in to get my money. Or my son's showing up with money, but in the meantime, can I borrow money? That's not a loan. And Ribit doesn't apply there. And therefore, I would think that since this fellow has a line of credit and really has access to other wax and other money, therefore it would be kin to that, and therefore there'd be no rebate. So, kamash v'lan kevah the machasri guvaina kaman deleitanu dami. Since this isn't something he can collect right now, he's owed the wax, but he can't collect it right now. Therefore, it's as if it doesn't exist, and therefore it's not like the Achiev Obani scenario. V'yam Rav Nachman, a third halacha of Rav Nachman, haiman de'osif pshita mechavrei. Let's say that a fellow borrows coins from another fellow, and he sees there's a surplus. He borrowed 35 coins, and he finds 42 coins. If it's the amount that could be reasonably assigned to a mistake, then he has to return the surplus to the lender. But if it's some odd amount, we'll see what that is. It must be that the fellow is trying to give him a gift. So he borrowed 35 and he ended up with 42. 7 is a gift. Not all 42, but 7 is a gift. And he was sneaking it in. He didn't want to embarrass the recipient. So what's an amount that's reasonable? You might think it's a percentage, like 10% or something. Amar Vacha Bered Rav Yosef, he says not like that, but rather b'isuryata v'chamshayata, by tens and by fives, meaning, let's say that he borrowed 100, and so the guy counted out 25 shekel coins or whatever, and he ended up with 110 or 115, so the guy simply gave him a few extra coins by accident. But if the number doesn't fit the counting system that was used, then that's considered to be a gift. So he asked Rav Ashi, let's say that the lender is a tough guy. So the guy Matani doesn't give gifts. My. So remember, we're trying to figure out what he meant. So can we reasonably assume that he meant to give a gift when he's a tough guy who doesn't give gifts? Even though the number is weird, it still should be considered a mistake and be returned to him. So Marley's, Rav Ashi's answer is, Dilma Migzal Gazle, maybe this tough guy, earlier in time, a year ago or whatever it is, stole from the borrower. And instead of returning it because he was embarrassed, what he did was he kind of threw it in extra into this loan so that he could return the money and fulfill the mitzvah of Hashavat Gzeilah, as we'll see in a second, without embarrassing himself, which means, again, that the borrower does not have to return the surplus. Tanya, we have a braita, if a guy steals from a fellow and then gives it back to him sort of in a sneaky way, adds it into a cheshbon or in some way gets it back to him, in other words, below dot balim, without informing the victim that he's returning the item, Yatzai has fulfilled the mitzvah of Hashavat HaGazelah. So that's what this guy wants to do. He wants to return it. He's contrite, but he's embarrassed. Let's say that this tough guy who doesn't give gifts is also somebody who's not in the social circle of the borrower. He's a new fellow in town. He's never had any dealings with him, so it's not likely that he stole from him. My, then how do we ascribe this? In other words, you made a blanket rule that if the money is, the surplus is an odd amount, that the borrower can keep it. So Amarle Dilma Inish Achrina Gazli. Maybe some other fellow stole from this borrower, the Amarle, and he said to this newcomer, Ki Yaziv Plona Pshita Minach, when Ploni borrows coins from you, avale b'cheshbon, please put these extra coins in b'cheshbon. In other words, we're bending over backwards three different ways in order to justify that the borrower should see that X surplus money that's of an unusual and weird amount as being deliberately given to him as some sort of a payment he should keep and doesn't have to return it. Okay, I'm Rav Kanai. Tells a story. I was sitting in the back of the room in Rav Shir, Ushmaita ka'amar kari kari, and I heard them saying kari kari, which we've seen the word already being used as wax, but here the word here means squash, the classic word kara. V'laya donamai kamar, I didn't know what they were talking about. Bata to kam Rav, after Rav left, Amrilahu, I said to them, this is classic in the yeshiva model, where the chacham comes in and speaks, and everybody's kind of terrified to ask questions, and they're certainly not going to ask him, what do you mean? So after he would leave, they'd go up to the, more senior members of the academy, and say, what was Rav talking about? So my kari kari to kama Rav, what was Rav saying? Amrilay, they said to him, hachikama Rav, this is what Rav had said, he was referring to a psak, haiman de yoiv zuzeli ginoa. Let's say that a fellow gives money to a gardener, meaning like a farmer, akari, for squash. Ka'azli asar akari b'nei zarta, and the price he gave him was for 10 squash that are the size of a finger. V'amarle, and the gardener said, Yahivna lach b'nei garmida, I'll give you ones that are an amal on. And as long as you pay me now instead of later, meaning you pay me now and I'll give them to you later, so you're essentially gaining by paying him in advance, which looks like ribit. That's the problem we've been encountering in the last, in the shiur, as the crossover between sale and ribit and a loan, because you're essentially giving him money now that he's going to return to you later, with a surplus. So itanu shari, but if the squash is currently there, even though it's small right now, then it's okay. Leitanu osurf, not. It's pshita, that's obvious from what we said earlier. So maudatema keonu melaka ravu. You could argue that since the squash grows on its own, shapir dami, it's okay even if it's not extant yet. It's just growing on its own, and so it's considered there even though it's not there. So kamash plan has to actually be there. So come on, who does that follow? Okay, aitan, it follows this brighta. The tanya holech lachlov etizav l'gzozit rechelav alayin ledot kavartom. A guy's on his way to milk his goats or to shear his sheep or to collect honey from the honeycomb. Mitzaoh, these are all byproducts. Now, Matzaoh chaver amar lo, and he bumped into a friend, and the goat owner, as it were, etc., said to the other guy, Mashi izai chovot machurlach. I'm going to sell you what my goats give out in milk. Or Mashi rechelai gozot machurlach. Whatever my sheep end up shearing, getting sheared, I'll sell to you. Or whatever the honeycomb gives forth, Mashi karati roda machurlach. Then mutar. Meaning you said to him, you know, I'll give you $100 for whatever wool comes out. Then it's okay. But if he said to him, but if you said, I'll sell you 2 liters of what the goats are going to give, I'll give you this seah of wool for this amount. Again, a measure of honey, then asur. So you see that just like with the squash, if it's not currently there, you're not allowed to sell it as futures. Even though that stuff grows by itself, since it's not around right now, asur. So the Ika da Amri Amarava, some people had a different version of this. That Rava contradicted what Rav said, and that was that since the squash grows on its own, it's okay to buy the squash in advance, even if they don't exist at all, and make the deal to pay him more now, by paying him now instead of later, and getting the bigger squash. But the braita about the goat, etc., seems to indicate that buying futures in something is asur if it's not around. So hatam lav minei karavu. The answer is that the wool and the milk and the honey isn't growing as the thing itself. You take the wool off, the animal grows more wool. You take the milk out, there comes more milk. But the squash is the thing itself. When you take this squash away, the squash is done. It's not like a squash machine that's making squash. Okay, Amar Baye. A man's allowed to say to another fellow, it's a ribid issue, I'm giving you 4 zuz for this barrel of wine. If it goes bad and becomes vinegar, then it's yours. You get it back, and I get my money back. But if the price of wine goes up or down, I'm holding on to it. In other words, I'm accepting the possibility of depreciation, and this, of course, is all for a future sale, and also for depreciation. Amar le Rav Shrevya le Abaye, so Rav Shrevya challenged Abaye. Hi, karov le sachar rochok lef sedu. This seems like a deal which is like a rebeat, because the buyer has all the gain and no loss, because if it goes bad, he gives it back. Since the buyer has accepted that if the wine depreciates, he'll accept that. Therefore, it's karov lezel lezeh, karov lehefseid ule revach, and sachar, and therefore it's in the middle, and the other possibility of it is not something that we need to look at, since the buyer is accepting the possibility of it going up or down, and therefore it's valid. Go pick up with the next Mishnah, Daf Samach Daled Amud Bet. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.